talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year by Andy Williams, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Bailey Baker. In addition to our radio show, Talking About a Home, we also publish Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the Charleston Home and Design Show, which we organize, and that's coming up February 2nd through the 4th at the North Charleston Convention Center in 2024. We're about a month and a half away from that. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking with interior designer Nadine Vogel with Sweetgrass Living. Also, Dan Geiger with Advanced Water Systems. And finally, remodeling contractor David Watsky of Watsky and Weeders Construction. Well, I did mention the Charleston Home and Design Show. That's coming up February 2nd through the 4th at the North Charleston Convention Center, and we're just about sold out. We're just sort of letting the last less than 10 booths sell organically as people call in and businesses that cater to affluent homeowners. They hear about the Charleston Home and Design Show and decide to sign up for that. But it's going to be a great show. We've got so many new and exciting things that we've got planned for the Charleston Home and Design Show. Some of the features that the show highlights that we always have, free design consultations with interior designers and architects. We're going to have a special celebrity designer room that will be on display, created by Stripe Lemon Design. And I'm not going to tell you who the celebrity is that the room will be designed for, but we'll make that announcement in January. But it's going to be a great show. We've got our free admission on Friday. That's a tradition we've had for... We've been organizing the show since 2004, so I guess it's almost 20 years. But free admission on Friday from 11 a.m. Usually it goes until 6. This year we decided to expand the free admission on Friday. So it's going to go 11 a.m. until 9 p.m. And from 6 to 9 is the Charleston Home and Design Party that we have at the home show. And there'll be the vendors will all have free catered food at their booths, and there'll be a cash bar and a live DJ. And I was telling someone the other day that when I bought my first home back in the 90s, I spent almost every week waking hour, including Friday nights, going to home improvement centers and looking for materials and things like that. So I'm sure there's going to be plenty of those folks that are kind of obsessed with their home projects and are like, hey, this is going to be a date night for us. We're going to go to the Charleston Home and Design Show party. And it's free admission, and you get some great catered food at all of the different vendor booths. But we're very excited about the Charleston Home and Design Show. If you'd like more information about the Charleston Home and Design Show, you can give us a call at Charleston Home and Design Magazine, or info@newhomecharleston is a good email to, if you'd like to request information, info@newhomecharleston. And hopefully you've gotten all your shopping underway for Christmas, and as we get down to the wire for Christmas coming up in just about 10 days or so. But folks, have a great weekend, and Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. And talking to us now is interior designer Nadine Vogel with Sweetgrass Living. How are you doing, Nadine?
I am well, Tim. How are you?
Good, good. Nadine, take a moment and tell everyone about your interior design practice, Sweetgrass Living.
So Sweetgrass Living works with homeowners not only around the U.S., but globally, to help them realize their dreams. And their dreams can be anything from a remodel or refresh of a bedroom to building a new house, you know, from the pilings up and going from there. So it's everything from end to end so that the homeowner feels really comfortable in their home when we're done.
Mm-hmm. And how can you talk about how specifically Sweetgrass Living is helping homeowners in that process?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, every homeowner is different in terms of what they're looking for and what they need. So some homeowners really have a good sense of what they want, but it's very piecemeal, and they really have a lot of problems putting it all together. And you can see it because if you look at what they have today, it's very hodgepodge. And each piece or each thing on its own isn't bad, but when you put it together, it just doesn't go. And they recognize that. So sometimes it's just helping them with what they like, but realizing what goes together and what doesn't. So sometimes it's as simple as that. We also have clients at Sweetgrass that say, Nadine, I am like the black thumb of plants, so I'll tell you what I absolutely hate, but other than that, I just need you to do this for me. And in that case, my questions are around function more than anything, because everybody wants to go with what is, you know, shiny, new, pretty, latest trend, but that doesn't always align with the way someone functions in their home, whether how they use their kitchen, right, or their primary bath, or whatever it may be. So I take a step back and really talk about function and functionality. Sometimes if we're building a new home, and we're involved there, we really get involved at the very front end with the architect, and we look at, you know, process engineering and everything that's being designed and recommended, from the pilings to, you know, the 2x4s, is thinking about, well, what are we missing, right? Because the homeowner often, unless they've built homes before, don't even know what questions to ask. And then when the outcome, they look at it like, that's not really what I wanted, but they couldn't articulate that up front. So often I'm their voice and articulating what I think they may want to know, some additional questions, some additional thoughts. So it's not, okay, I like this, but let me understand why I wouldn't like that. So it's really a process to get them involved and help them love that home at the end. But to me, the worst thing that can happen is someone goes through a major remodel or a build of a new home, and at the end they're excited because it's new, but then I hear the things that they don't love about it. Oh, I wish I had. I wish I knew. I want to eliminate all those I wishes at the end. I want to get them done up front. So that's a big part of what we do. Sometimes we also are working with folks that are aging or looking to age in place in a home. And then we're also bringing in aspects, which I think you and I have talked about before, of universal design.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that as we age, our house can still accommodate us, no matter what our needs may be as we, you know, get older and have new aches and pains.
Right, right. Yeah, and you touched on something that I think is incredibly important, and that is the outcome of a project, because I think a lot of homeowners, they take for granted, they say, okay, I'm going to devote X amount of dollars to this project, and they just assume that the outcome is going to be what they expect. And there's not a guarantee in that, and there might be some things that fall short in that process
Right.
And so that breaks my heart to think about people that have spent all that money and then they have regrets at the end and they say, I wish I had done this or I wish I had done that.
Exactly. Because, you know, when you make the changes up front, you make decisions up front, it's either no cost, low cost. When you want to make them later, it's either high cost or you just can't do it at all.
Right.
And that is a shame. And I just find that whether it's designers, it's builders, architects, they tend to have a certain style or certain things that they do that they recommend, not taking into consideration the individual homeowner and some of their unique issues. They have a child with a disability. They have aging parents. They travel a lot. Like, whatever it may be, that has to go into the equation. It has to be a factor right up front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And the other thing is, you know, not everyone hires an interior designer with their remodel project or their new construction project. And the ones that decide to kind of cut that corner, a lot of times they will rely on the design advice of the general contractor. And the general contractor really doesn't want to get into that. They'll base their answer to your question about what should I do here, you know, based on past experience, or they'll go to the lighting store, the tile store, and they'll hit up the showroom designer for advice on cabinetry. Those people don't necessarily know the whole project and can't see, you know, don't have a bird's eye view. And that's why when it comes to remodeling your home or building a new home, I can't think of too many things that you're going to spend more money on. A lot of times I remember a general contractor saying people spend more time researching a car than they do, researching, hiring a builder or something like that.
Yes. Yes, that's why a lot of people refer to me as the doctor of design, because I want to prescribe, right? But you can't prescribe, even if you're a doctor, you can't prescribe medication until you do an exam, until you uncover the issues. You have to understand what's behind it in order to make, and think about it. Someone could be sick with something and there's five different drugs a doctor could recommend. But which one they're going to recommend will have to do with, well, what are some of the comorbidities that this person has, right? What are other factors to take into consideration so this one, rather than all five, are the best choice? It's kind of the same thing, but with design.
Right. Yep, that makes sense. Well, tell me about the project that Charleston Home and Design Magazine just photographed recently, where the homeowner was quite involved in the project with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we have clients in design that want to be very involved, somewhat, and not at all. This last client was intimately involved, and I loved it. Because there was never a question of what this person wants or likes. She got involved from the very beginning, sending me drawings. She would draw things on a piece of paper, scan it in. She even got her own design software to try to figure out what she wanted and would give it to me. She went with me to every store to source every piece, anything I was looking at, even electronically. You know, we were on FaceTime together. She was looking at it with me and giving me feedback. And it's interesting because I've talked to designers who said, oh my gosh, that would drive me crazy.
Uh-huh.
Why are they hiring me, right? But for me, it was fabulous. There was no second guessing. If a decision was made, I knew she wasn't going to second guess or come back because she was so involved. And it really shortened the time that we needed to spend on each room in the home because I had a really good sense right up front of the kind of direction she wanted to go. And sometimes, you know, folks, when we work with them, they want everything done quickly. Like, just tell me when I can move back in my home, right? Tell me when this is going to be done. I want to get the contractors out of the house. This particular homeowner really felt she wanted to do it in stages. it was very, you know, it was very overwhelming. We were looking at, you know, a lot of different rooms, and let's do it in stages. And sometimes that can make it more difficult. Sometimes it can make it more costly. But we had, you know, really good discussions about value engineering right up front. So understanding we were going to take a process, it still worked really, really well. And I would say now 90% of the home is finished. And Charleston Home and Design was out last week and doing photos of the home. And it's absolutely beautiful. But because she was so intimately involved, she takes a pride, right? She has pride in this work as if she was a designer. Like, I take so much pride in the work when I look at that finished product. But if you would see her smile, it goes beyond just a homeowner's smile. Because she knew she really had a hand in every aspect, every decision. And I think, you know, again, that's not for everyone. But for her, it worked really well. And you know, at Sweetgrass, we're really flexible. So there is no one we can't work with. It's about the homeowner and how they want to work, not how I want to work.
How do you kind of stretch the limits with regards to the homeowner's comfort zone? Because, you know, sometimes you have a particular vision that
yes.
you can, but it's hard to convey what the outcome will look like. And up front, the homeowner might be like, whoa, let's put the brakes on. I'm not sure I want to do that. What comes to mind is I remember there was a reality show here in Charleston, I think on HGTV, and the designer was helping these homeowners in a home that was built in the 1800s, and beautiful heart pine floors, and the designer said, I'd like to paint the wood floors with kind of like a diamond pattern. And I remember like sort of gasping myself, like, oh, I would never let somebody, you know, paint those you know, historic floors. But they look great. They look really good, but it's, I guess it, would that be like the trust that has been built up over time working with an interior designer?
Yes and no, because it in the end, it could have looked absolutely beautiful. But as beautiful as it looked, did the homeowner feel comfortable living in the home with those floors?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sometimes someone picks things out of a magazine and they'll say, oh, this is gorgeous. But they'll be honest and say, but I would never feel comfortable in that home. It's too fancy. It's too this. It's too that. As designers, we need to pick up on that about the homeowner. So we have to understand who they are as people. What, you know, what's their day in the life like? Do they throw big parties? Are they more casual parties where there's going to be lots of kids and stuff that's going to, you know, spill every place? Or are they more formal in how they entertain? Like, all of those factors have to go into this. Because, you know, so you asked about like stretching, you know, the client. So if the client gives me some ideas of what they're looking for, I will absolutely fulfill that as one recommendation. So let's say that's option A. Option B might be my vision that is, could be completely different or somewhat different, typically completely different. And then I'm going to give them an option C, which might meld the two. So it takes the things that I know that are comfort factors for them, but then takes them a little, stretches them just a little bit, mm-hmm. gives them a little more outside the box. And then we talk about, you know, do you like option A, option B, option C? And usually that's very comfortable for them. And then they'll say, oh, actually, I really like option C, or option C, but I want to keep this from, you know, menu item A. You have to do that. It's their home. It's not our home.
Right, right.
And so there might be things I really want to design wild and crazy, but I'm not living there.
Yeah, and that's something I think a lot of folks have never worked with an interior designer, and so they may be a little bit wary about, you know,
yes.
is this designer going to push their style on me, or
yes.
am I going to have to like fight these battles of saying no, it sounds
right.
like at Sweetgrass Living, your interior design firm, that you're doing a lot of listening and a lot of trying to pull information from the homeowner to get a sense of the style that they want.
Absolutely. You know, someone told me a long time ago, you have two ears and one mouth. Right? Listen more, talk less.
Right.
And I think when it comes to interior design, that's really, really important. And whether it's with the homeowners or it's right up front with the architect, the general contractor, it's about listening to what everyone is saying. And sometimes it's serving as the mediator, the psychologist, if you will, because sometimes it's the architect or the contractor talking, and I can see that the homeowner is not really grasping what they're saying.
Right.
And so sometimes it's a translation. It's listening to both. Or the homeowner is trying to articulate what they want, and I see the architect not really getting it. So a lot of times that listening is just translating information back and forth mm-hmm. to make sure everybody's on the same sheet of music.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. What about when the husband wants this and the wife wants that? How do you resolve that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a daily. That's a daily. That's the marriage counselor part.
Right.
You know what I do is when I first meet the couple, and if it is a couple, I always insist on meeting both of them, because even if they say, well, you know, she's not really involved, I'm handling this, or he's not really involved, I'm doing this, I'm like, I still want to meet with both of you. I want to hear it and see it myself. And then what I'll always do is get involved with each one, understanding what they want, what they like, what they don't like. So we had a homeowner recently, the husband is 6'4", the wife is 5 feet. And we were working in their primary bathroom, and it got into an issue of height of mirrors, where the mirrors should be, placement of a lot of things. And there was a major disagreement of how this should be handled. And so we had to get really creative, and we did. We did something very unique. So typically in a primary bath, you'll have, you know, the vanities side by side, mirrors side by side. We did something where they were backed up to one another, so it almost, they each had their own individual space instead of connecting their space. And the room was big enough to allow us to do this, and they each loved it because they each got very precisely what they felt they needed from a functional standpoint in the primary bath. We spent so much time in that primary bath, we needed to work for us.
You know, that you just described the master bath that my wife and I have at home, and she has her space, and her vanity and sink is walled off, and on the other side of that wall is my space, and she'll sometimes she's be getting ready, and she'll say, what do you want? What are you doing over in my space? and it works perfectly. As you were describing the solution for that, I was thinking, I wonder if she thought of suggesting that same thing, sort of a Jack and Jill type situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, again, it's listening. It's just listening.
Right, right. Well, they're gonna. I can't imagine having a vanity side by side with my spouse. So, and neither can my spouse. So,
there you go. See,
that works out great. I'm looking at your ad in Charleston Home and Design magazine and coastal inspired decor and design. Can you describe that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, look where we live, right? We live in this beautiful coastal area. Every place you go, even if you're, you know, downtown, there's coastal influences. But I say coastal inspired instead of coastal design. And the reason for that is that not everyone wants to feel like they walk in their home and they've just entered a boat, right?
Right.
or a yacht. And a lot of times you do. You see homes in the area and every home looks exactly like every other home. It's you know, the blue and white. And not everyone wants that. Not everyone wants shells all over the house and shell motifs.
Right.
So it's coastal inspired, which, you know, tends to give more of a more homey, a more casual style. Some people want, you know, I have a client downtown, and she said, look, I'm not in a historic home. I do live downtown. I don't want to feel like I'm in a museum.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to feel like I'm in Charleston. I have the Battery nearby. I want to have some influence of water in here. And that's really important. Not everyone wants, again, the same thing. So do we do homes that are very traditional, very historic? Absolutely. But I would say more often than not, folks come to us with that. They want some coastal aspect to it, some casual design built in.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. Well, how can folks get more information about Sweetgrass Living?
Well, there's so many ways they could do this. One is to look in the magazine. Charleston Home and Design, you know, has done this amazing job of featuring Sweetgrass and featuring homes that we have done. And so I always refer people back to the magazine and to look and see some of the examples. Certainly they can reach out to us directly at 843-580-6929. Folks can email me directly, nadine@sweetgrassliving.com. And I'm just really excited that we're doing this, Tim, because, you know, the magazine, what I love about your magazine is that it aligns so much with Sweetgrass clients in that they look at the magazine, they see these beautiful homes, but what I always hear is they're realistic. They're mm-hmm. beautiful, but I don't feel like I can't achieve that look.
Yeah.
And so I just want to congratulate you in the magazine for designing it in such a way that gives people an opportunity to feel like they really can achieve those looks that you're showing. I just think it's amazing.
Well, that's very kind of you, and I really appreciate that feedback. And from my point of view, I'm just amazed at the beautiful projects that our advertisers allow us to go out and photograph, and so we're very, very fortunate that we've got such a great group of advertisers within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine, including Sweetgrass Living.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, and thank you for the opportunity, as
you
always.
Bet. And we've been talking with the Doctor of Design, Nadine Vogel, with Sweetgrass Living. Thanks so much, Nadine.
Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.
And now we're talking with Dan Geiger with Advanced Water Systems. How you doing, Dan?
Very well. How are you today?
Good, good. Dan, take a moment and tell everyone about Advanced Water Systems.
We are a local water treatment company to the Charleston area. We also have offices as far south as Savannah, all the way up to Chesapeake, North Carolina, or Chesapeake, Virginia. We solve water problems for people. We have a variety of different products that can fix certain things such as hard water, filtered water, even chemicals that are possibly in your water.
Gotcha. And I heard a report that came out last week from the Environmental Protection Agency, and I thought of Advanced Water Systems immediately, and I said we need to talk to you about this report that just came out. And I know that I'm sure you're not the type of person that wants to, you know, kind of you know, drum up any fear in anyone or anything like that, but this was a pretty pretty eye-opening report that the EPA came out about forever chemicals in our water. And can you kind of talk about the report? I'm sure you read it thoroughly.
Certainly. And we've been dealing with this this chemical for quite a long time, actually. It is it's called a forever chemical because it doesn't break down as easily as other chemicals that are possibly in water or you know, food or whatever we eat and drink. But yes, this chemical has been around for a while. Basically, its root is the nonstick from our pots and pans.
Teflon.
Yep, the Teflon. And right now, my business partners in North Carolina have a major contract to clean this particular chemical out of residential commercial water supplies all up and down the Cape Fear River in North Carolina. So I'm very familiar with it. It is something that the chemical is growing, not growing as a chemical, but growing into different areas. is somewhat easy to remove through reverse osmosis and filtration. But yeah, the EPA has not set a limit on this. That's why we haven't heard a whole lot publicly about it. They still have not set the minimum standards for the water municipalities right now to have to treat this. Mm.
And the main forever chemical that they mentioned in the EPA report last week, and I'm probably going to mispronounce it, but the acronym is PFAS?
PFAS, yep.
PFAS. Yep. And yep. Polyfluoral alkyl substances is
yes.
And those are the forever chemicals that you just mentioned that come from our pots and pans.
Exactly. It also, and I'm sure everybody that's listening to us right now has heard about the Camp Lejeune lawsuit. Mm-hmm. That was actually a PFAS chemical that was in the water there at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina because of fire fighting foam.
Gotcha.
And so this PFAS really is in not just nonstick or Teflon, but it's in a lot of other things that we've used throughout the years. Mm-hmm. And still used today.
Well, I've brought this up when I've interviewed you in the past, and I think it is worthy to mention now. You know, everybody, the term city water is something that most people are familiar with. You know, there's well water, and then there's city water, and city water for like the Charleston area. Can you tell us where city water comes from?
Yeah, there's two or three different areas that the different municipalities pull water from. The lakes, the Santee Lakes north of Mount Pleasant is one area, and then the Edgestone River is the other area that most of the municipalities pull water from. So it is all surface water that's subject to runoff and things of that nature.
And I can think back to my earlier days. I've taken many a canoe trip down the Edisto River, and they call that a blackwater waterway. It's because it's slow moving, and you can't see the bottom. There are a lot of minerals in there, and so forth. And if I'm correct, the Edisto River is. It's about an hour south of Charleston, and I just want our listeners to think about this for a second. So the water is coming from, as you mentioned, some of the lakes north of Mount Pleasant, and then also the Edisto River. That water has to get to the treatment plant here in Charleston some way, and there's a pipe that brings it in. How old do you think some of the pipe and infrastructure of those pipes is these days?
You know, I'm sure that they've been there for quite a while. I wouldn't even know where to begin how to put a number on how many years they were there. But some of the infrastructure, especially downtown Charleston, is just old. So
right. So that water comes in from the Edisto River, the same water that, you know, I remember seeing a water moccasin and other wildlife that, you know, poops in the water. That water travels, through a very long pipeline and goes to the treatment plant. And a lot of the that water is treated and makes it clean. But they're not taking out some of those forever chemicals, are they?
No, they aren't. And, you know, to give our municipalities credit, they do a great job of sending us a safe water. They are all there are things in there that are nuisances. But, yes, the water is safe to drink. They do treat it with chlorine and coagulation and filtration to get some of the sediment and things of that nature out of the water. The chlorine is used for disinfecting. We like to say that once it gets to your house, it's done its job. So we like to take it out because it is a chemical.
Well, but, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Good. That was it.
Oh, well, and then on top of that, so you've got the water is traveling, you know, 40 miles or so by pipeline from the Edisto River to the treatment plant. And then once it's treated, it's going through miles of pipelines to get to your neighborhoods, and then from your street to your house. And I can just imagine what the inside of those pipes looks like. Do the municipalities clean the pipes regularly?
They, you know, I can't. They flush the pipes with, you know, heavy water usage. If you ever seen the fire hydrants running like crazy just out in the middle of nowhere, there's really no way to put a cleaner in there. So I think they're relying on the water flowing through there to take whatever's in there with it.
Yeah. I guess I'm just trying to paint a mental picture for our listeners about that water that's traveling through those pipelines. And, you can't control those. You have to take that leap of faith and assume that the municipalities are providing you with clean water, but you do have control over the water once it reaches your home. And, what do you tell homeowners about in terms of what advanced water systems can do once the water hits your home, and what you can do to clean it up and remove some of those forever chemicals?
Yeah. So the forever chemicals, if they have them in their water, that again is a something where they would need to check with their municipality and see the level. The forever chemicals are, there's two ways to treat it. You can treat it for your whole house with specialized carbon through whole house filtration system that will remove them so you're not bathing or showering or cooking or drinking the chemicals. Or you can treat it with just a certified simple reverse osmosis unit that tucks in underneath your kitchen sink and supplies you with an unlimited supply of purified water.
That sounds pretty simple. I don't know why everyone doesn't have one of the two of those systems installed in their homes. And you've got a whole house option, plus you've got a one specifically for drinking water. What if somebody has like a little one of those little filters hooked up to either their refrigerator or the faucet for their tap water?
Regular carbon filtration will not take out chemicals, except for chlorine. Not even the ammonia side. The Charleston area, the disinfectant is called chloramines, which is ammonia and chlorine mixed together. So a refrigerator filter uses just a basic carbon. And 99.9% of the other filters that are under a sink or attachments to a sink only take out chlorine. They won't remove the any other chemicals, VOCs or forever chemicals.
How does the water, the filtered or the reverse osmosis water that advanced water systems can help folks with, how does it compare to, say, bottled water that they can buy?
Certain types of bottled water are actually all right. You really have to read the label to see what's in that water or how it was processed. Being an old bottled water veteran myself, I used to run a bottled water plant in Columbia and Charleston years and years ago. We used reverse osmosis for our process. Mm-hmm. So some of the waters are really good. Some of them are, just kind of like a refrigerator filter type water. Mm-hmm. So it's really important you do your homework on reading the label, see what the process is on bottled water.
Yeah. I guess that's you know, if you asked a homeowner which is going to provide you a cleaner drinking water, a bottle of water, or you know, water that's coming straight from the tap unfiltered, they'd probably say the bottled water. But what you're telling me is the water that Advanced Water Systems helps people with at their home, that's above and beyond. That's superior to even what you get with bottled water.
Yeah, the bottled water process is very similar. the exception is you put it in a plastic container that was made from chemicals, and all of those leach. So the water itself maybe was you know 99.9% pure or 98% pure when it was put into that bottle, but coming out of that bottle into your body, there most likely would be some type of a leach from the bottle itself, whether it be plastic or other chemicals that the bottle's made out of.
Yeah. Sometimes those pallets of bottled water sits in unconditioned warehouses for months and months before it and goes to the end user.
Yep.
Well, are there do the advanced water systems the water filtration systems, do they take up a lot of room in your house? Do you have to have a big house in order to have you place a system in there?
No, they're very very compact in most cases. From the reverse osmosis standpoint, we actually have two of them. One of them is for a regular size sink, and then we have a smaller one that actually goes. We can fit underneath those low drop down country sinks that people are starting to put in their homes.
Mm-hmm. And what about folks with well water?
So we have a variety. I have over about 42 different systems that we sell for different things. You know, our well water around that this area here is. Some of it has sulfur, the rotten egg odor. We have automatic systems that remove that. Some of them have very hard water, that being also with city water people. We have water softeners that can take care of that. And then we have a variety of different things to raise pH levels if they have low pH, or even whole house reverse osmosis if they have salt intrusion.
Well, we've been talking a lot about the health aspect of having clean filtered waters with a water filtration system from advanced water systems. But what about the health of some of the appliances in the home that uses that water?
Yeah, it's from a city water standpoint, some people in the Charleston area have a little bit of hard water. Hard water breaks down your soaps. It gets in your water heaters and turns back into its natural rock state. Especially a tankless heater, the calcium resolidifies and causes a buildup in those. From a filtration standpoint, if you ever were to take off the back of your toilet tank and reach down where that rubber flapper is that lifts up and down all the time, and rub your finger on it. It'll turn your finger black, and that's from the chlorine eating that rubber seal away, and that happens all throughout your house.
Hmm. And everybody just assumes because they want everything to run as it was when it was first installed, whether it be your dishwasher or your washing machine, or some of the faucets and shower fixtures that you use, but they're you're going to have to replace them at some point. And if you want to get a longer life out of those appliances, will it advance water systems? Will you folks be able to help them with that?
Yes, we will. That's one thing that water filtration or water softening or even water treatment will do from your house for your house is save all your water using appliances. What we normally do is we go into the house and we perform a water test to see what in the water could be affecting not only the person's health but their home, and then we can recommend the proper system to help eliminate any long-term issues that they might have.
Gotcha. Well, I would imagine if there's one thing that you want to have, it's the cleanest water possible, because you use water so often, not just for drinking, but for showering and washing your clothes and dishes and so forth. If there's one thing that you really want to make sure not to scrimp on is having the best, cleanest water that you possibly can.
Yep.
What's the best way that I'm sure you have conversations with homeowners every day about their particular situation. What's the best way for them to reach out to Advanced Water Systems?
Well, they can certainly visit our website at kineticocharleston.com. That's K-I-N-E-T-I-C-O, charleston.com. Or they can call our office at 843-645-4450. Mm-hmm. Yep. And we would be more than happy to schedule an appointment to come out. We do a free water analysis. It takes about 15 minutes. And then we can show the homeowner what different products we have that may be able to help them.
If you live in, would you say that older neighborhoods or newer neighborhoods are more susceptible to some of these different problems we've been talking about?
You know, it really depends on the water source. There's no real correlation to what neighborhood, you know, whether it's north, south, east, west, in Charleston. It's just a matter of the water coming through. Downtown Charleston, we seem to have more of an issue with people having small amounts of lead in their water just from some of their old plumbing or some of the old infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha. Well, we have been, and you can always find Advanced Water Systems within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on our website, charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with Dan Geiger about a very, very important topic, how to remove forever chemicals from your water. Thanks so much, Dan.
Thank you very much, and have a wonderful day.
And talking to us now is General Contractor David Watsky with Watsky and Weeders Construction. How are you doing, David?
Good morning. How are you?
Just fine. David, take a moment and tell everyone about Watsky and Weeders Construction.
Yes. Good morning, guys. My name is David with Watsky and Weeders Construction. Forrest Weeders and I are a general contracting company in Charleston, South Carolina. We operate in the greater Charleston area. I'm currently in Kiowa as we speak. We operate from Kiowa all the way to the other end of Mount Pleasant and everywhere in between. Full renovations, kitchens, bathrooms, interior, exterior work, you name it, Tim, we're on it.
Good deal. Is there, I notice there's a lot of, seems to be quite a few building permits being issued on Daniel Island by Watsky and Weeders Construction. Is that an area that Watsky and Weeders Construction works on quite a bit?
That has been an area that I've personally been on and that Forrest and I with Watsky Weeders have been on continuously for years. We have had nothing but outstanding experiences with everyone on Daniel Island.
Well, that's great. Well, it says a lot about your reputation at Watsky and Weeders Construction that I'm sure you're getting quite a few referrals from neighbors that you folks have done work with, and the other neighbors are like, hey, I've seen those trucks out in front, and what kind of experience did you have with Watsky and Weeders Construction? What kinds of feedback do you typically get from your homeowner customers?
Well, I tell you, word of mouth bodes us well. We operate in a principled fashion. We show up when we say we're going to show up. We execute high-end results, and we communicate throughout the duration of the projects. And, you know, these days we have social media holds a sway and has such a massive presence in these communities like Daniel Island, for instance, and they communicate amongst ourselves. You know, we got the immediate neighbors of the project, you know, the addresses of the projects we're at, and they talked amongst themselves and they can, you know, show each other, but people vouch for us and that means a lot, you know? And so we're very grateful for that. And, that's how we, you know, we, We also work with Charleston Home Design. We have a social media presence and a website, but like by far word of mouth is the most significant.
Yeah. And that word of mouth, that can be a double-edged sword where it can hurt you also. And it doesn't sound like that is the case. But does Watsky & Wieters Construction, do you folks do mainly remodel projects? Do you do any new construction?
We do not build houses currently, Tim.
Gotcha. Okay. So remodeling projects, those always there's one thing you can count on, and that is there will be some surprises. And how does Watsky & Wieters Construction handle those surprises when they pop up?
We pivot. We get in the solution business, buddy. you know, the reality of it is I mean, homes have been built for a long time, especially in Charleston area. You'll go to older neighborhoods. Well, downtown, for instance, you know, you'll run into that over there. The older the house, the more likely you'll have to pivot. How we deal with that is, you know, it's always helpful in the contractual stage, the permitting stage, and the estimating stage, and the initial consultation stage is to communicate how, you know, the likelihood of how that will – of that happening, what it'll look like. We walk customers through, point this out, you know, this is unexpected. This is what we look forward to moving forward to resolve this issue. It's just communication, you know, for the vast majority of our customers, everybody's, you know, it comes with a price tag,
right? Yeah.
Which is not everybody's favorite, but the inevitable correcting of the issue is at hand, and we'll do it as seamlessly as we can possibly do.
Right. Well, can you think of, do any projects come to mind, that Watsky & Wieters Construction has been involved with this year that you're particularly proud of?
We're proud of all our, gosh, Tim.
Yeah. Like I'm looking at the Watsky & Wieters Construction ad in Charleston Home and Design Magazine. I see a beautiful tile bathroom, for example. Looks like you used maybe subway tile. Does that one strike a bell?
We use a lot of subway tile. I'll tell you, bring your attention to, we have a brickyard plantation project that I believe hopefully is under contract right now. That was a full renovation with the help of Artelia Interiors. She's the homeowner. She got at us, and we collaborated through the entire process. High end results. It's a fantabulous job out there, man. We increased the value of that home tremendously, and it speaks for itself. I'm actually out at Kiowa right now. We had a full renovation at our Terrapin Court project. Every bedroom, accent wall. We maximize every area over here. We've got wallpaper, custom built-ins, custom bunk beds, you know, bathrooms, interior, exterior. We built a shower, you name it. We worked out here with some amazing homeowners, and as well as, you know, we have a relationship with Robin Ahern, with Charleston Island Rentals, amongst many other amazing people out here that we collaborate with many projects on in Kiowa. We have an East Bay project. Those guys are great. We've done the whole kitchens, bathrooms, garage areas, laundry rooms. We have an addition going on in Mount Pleasant, the Hobcaw. We essentially doubled the size of their home, and which initially in turn doubles the value of their house. And, you know, growing boys, it's a necessity, and it's cheaper, to be honest with you, and more effective to renovate your home as opposed to buying a new home, you know?
Yeah. That's very true. And you know, people, they look around, they realize they want to make some changes to their home, but where are we going to move? That's the big question. Yeah. And then with interest rates being so high and so forth,
I would like to dial back the word cheaper. The word effective, you know, is more of a word. You know, I don't know anything that's cheap these days, but like, you know, the process of moving can be daunting, but like, you know, we grow accustomed to our neighborhood and our neighbors and the schooling systems. And like, if we can pull it off, let's pull it off. Let's make this our dream home right here.
Right.
That's our, yes, sir.
Yeah. And I've said this in previous interviews that, you know, if you've got a house that needs some of those, that updating and there are changes that you want to make, do it now, call Watsky and Weeders Construction and get your project in line and enjoy the time that you'll be able to, be in that remodeled home. And, the reality is that when you go to sell it years from now, that you'll get that investment back and just think of all the intangibles, those moments that you've spent with your family that you've been able to enjoy, even more within the confines of a beautiful home versus, you know, sort of limping through life with the home that you have that you really aren't totally happy with.
Yeah.
Well, good deal. Well, is there, I imagine you're lining up work for next year. What should the homeowners do if they want to make some changes? What's the first step they should take?
Well, my name is David Watsky. My phone number is area code 843-830-4826. Our website is www.construct.com. We have a social media presence on Facebook and on Instagram. My partner's name is Forrest Weeders, and his number is area code 843-568-3268. You guys, email as well. We're easily reachable. There's only about 3 degrees of separation in the Charleston area to find out Forrest and I or us as a company. My email is david@wwconstruct.com, Forrest@wwconstruct.com. Leave us a message. We'll get back to you. We're prompt. Love to take care of you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, Tim.
Yeah. And you weren't saying www.blah, blah, blah. That your website is
wwconstruct.com, as in Watsky and Weeders Construct.com. It's just two letters to abbreviate the two last names, wwconstruct.com.
Thank you for clarifying that. And you can always find Watsky and Weeders Construction within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine. We've been talking with David Watsky, general contractor with Watsky and Weeders Construction. Thanks so much, David.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.